Tonight, in a speech broadcast from Raleigh, North Carolina, Senator Jesse Helms is expected to announce he will not seek re-election next year. Helms, who will turn 80 this fall, first won his Senate seat in 1972, shortly after switching from the Democratic Party to the Republican. In 5 terms in the Senate, he's anchored the chamber's conservative wing, acting as both a champion and a goad for 5 Republican presidents, and as a nemesis for 2 Democrats in the White House. In the 1980s, Helms chaired the Agriculture Committee, which helped endear him to Carolinians. More recently, he chaired the Foreign Relations Committee, which made him a factor in world affairs. Throughout his 3 decades in the Senate, Helms has been a master of the rules and prerogatives, which he has used to full advantage. NPR's Steve Inskeep reports.
Senator Jesse Helms never left any doubt about who he thought his enemies were.
Just think about it. Homosexuals, lesbians, disgusting people marching in our streets demanding all sorts of things, including the right to marry each other and the right to adopt children. How do you like them apples?
Helms joined the fight against the National Endowment for the Arts.
There have been complaints for years and years about filth and perversion being rewarded time and time again.
He fought against civil rights laws. When the Senate voted to impose stricter penalties for violence against abortion clinics, Senator Helms voted no.
Where do we get off practicing double standards? Is being politically correct that important?
And when President Clinton nominated Roberta Achtenberg to a post in his administration, Senator Helms stood in her way.
Now, this militantly activist lesbian is the showpiece of the homosexual movement in the United States.
Senator Helms didn't always say no. He spoke in favor of the Confederate flag. And he defended North Carolina's tobacco farmers.
Scientists still have established no clinical link between smoking and, say, cancer. They have a lot of statistics, but that's all.
Although his rhetoric made headlines, this conservative senator failed to stop what he considered society's disastrous trends. He couldn't stop the civil rights movement. He cut but could not eliminate federal arts funding. He couldn't remove President Clinton from office. He did block some of Clinton's judicial nominees, but that nominee he denounced as a militantly activist lesbian won confirmation in the Senate. Republicans joined Democrats to approve her. Although he was often frustrated in his crusades at home, Senator Helms did make a lasting mark on the United States' relations with the rest of the world.
Now, only the blind will fail to see that communism is advancing rapidly on every front all around the world.
Early in his Washington career, Jesse Helms joined the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He quickly mastered the Senate's rules and used those intricate rules to build enormous power. Late one night in 1978, the Senate was considering the State Department budget requested by President Carter. Helms rose on the Senate floor and politely proposed an amendment. Charles William Maines was serving in the State Department at the time.
No one realized what he was doing until the next morning. There was almost no one on the floor when he proposed this amendment.
The amendment effectively shut off U.S. payments to the United Nations, one of Senator Helms' least favorite international organizations. Helms asked that his amendment be approved by a voice vote. The presiding officer simply declared, "All in favor, say aye." Charles William Maines says nobody objected in time.
And so the amendment went through, and we suddenly found that all payments were frozen. The president did not want to veto the bill because it was tucked into something that was more important for the administration. It took us 1 year to get that provision repealed.
Throughout the 1980s and 90s, Senator Helms led a battle against the United Nations. He said it undermined American sovereignty and wasted American money. He worked to withhold U.S. dues to the organization. Helms gained more power as he gained seniority. As chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, he had the power to block nominees to the State Department. He stopped the nominees of presidents from both parties. In 1997, Helms blocked President Clinton's nominee to be ambassador to Mexico. Republican Governor William Weld of Massachusetts couldn't even get a hearing before Helms' committee.
I think people out there on Main Street are not going to understand why one person should be able to make a decision to override a matter that by our Constitution is vested in the President and all 100 members of the United States Senate.
The Constitution does not say that a single senator can block a nominee, but Senate tradition does. Senators rarely overrule a powerful chairman.
And what Mr. Weld appears to be threatening
is that unless his nomination to Mexico is moved, he will begin a war within the Republican Party. Let him try. I have been tempted to say, but haven't, that I, Mr. Weld, do not yield to ideological extortion.
Senator Helms didn't always get his way. In 1995, he fiercely opposed a plan to send peacekeeping troops to Bosnia.
With all deference to the witnesses, I cannot and I do not and I will not support sending American soldiers to fight and to die for the sake of an agreement not yet reached, which may offer no more than the promise of a brief pause while all sides prepare for the next round of Balkan wars.
The troops went anyway. 6 years later, the peace in Bosnia still holds. Former State Department official Charles William Maine says the senator couldn't change U.S. policy on the biggest issues. He had much more influence on somewhat smaller issues to which fewer Americans paid attention.
Where the administration does not believe that the stakes involved are so cosmic that they have to confront the senator in question. It may be easier to give him what he wants.
Helms has pressed one president after another to maintain hardline policies against Cuban President Fidel Castro. In 1997, Helms won passage of a bill that strengthened the U.S. embargo against Cuba. He met with reporters after the vote.
I want you fellows and ladies to deliver a message to Cuba for me. Farewell, Fidel. Because that's the message of this bill.
In the last few years, Jesse Helms has shown flexibility on some issues. He took his Foreign Relations Committee on a field trip to Mexico. He was reaching out to a country he had denounced in the past for its role in the drug trade. Helms even helped to work out a compromise with the United Nations. It allowed the U.S. to pay some of its back dues. Last year, he traveled to New York to address the U.N. Security Council.
Congress has written a check to the United Nations for $926 million payable upon the implementation of previously agreed upon common sense reforms. Now the choice is up to you here at the United Nations. And I suggest if the United Nations were to reject this compromise, it would mark the beginning of the end for U.S. support for the United Nations, and I don't want that to happen.
To get the money, the United Nations agreed to those reforms. Senator Jesse Helms moved slightly closer to supporting the world's notional governing body. But Helms wasn't the only one who moved. Even his critics say that Jesse Helms succeeded in turning the world a few degrees toward him. Steve Inskeep, NPR News, Washington.